an ensign fair we lifted up today, while the ransom ones we sing. Marching on, marching on, for Christ down everything but law. For the King of Kings, toil and sing, 'neath the banner of the cross. Over land and sea, wherever man may dwell, make the glorious tidings known of the crimson banner. Now the story we tell, while the Lord shall claim his own. Marching on, marching on, for Christ count everything but law. For the King of Kings, toil and sing, 'neath the banner of the cross. When the great commander from the vaulted sky sounds the resurrection day, then before our King the fain and foe shall die, and the saints shall march away. Marching on, marching on, for Christ count everything but loss. For the King of Kings, toil and sing, 'neath the banner of the cross.
Please be seated.
Danny, what was that invitation song again, please?
Number 300.
Thank you. I know last time I did this, I walked out front for the invitation song and forgot that the songs didn't show up back there on the back wall. And so I want to be a little better prepared. I'd like to thank you all for coming today. I'd like to thank the brethren for their song leading, for the prayer, for the announcements, for everything that you do in preparation as we prepare to study God's Word today. I like to review a lot in my classes because I believe one of the important things that a teacher should do is inspire thinking. And I believe I've talked about that before, but I consider that the number one responsibility of a teacher is to inspire thinking. Otherwise, it's like pouring water into a bucket. If it doesn't mean anything, if it doesn't inspire thinking, then I'm not doing my job as a teacher. So part of that is in remembrance. And if we study the Bible, we find that that comes up in a lot of situations. Jesus, before he left earth, reminded or told his disciples that the Holy Spirit would bring them in remembrance of things. Paul mentions later on in his writing, and Peter mentions in his writings, that it is to bring in remembrance. So we study things, and we don't necessarily remember all of them. They've done surveys, and the average person, when they hear something, 1 week later, they're going to forget 70% of it. So if we make 10 statements, you're only going to remember 3 of them. And that's the average thinker. Folks like me might remember 1 or 2 things. But that's 3 out of 10 things that are said. 2 weeks later, you're fortunate if you only remember 1 of the things. Now, there's some things that we can do to make that a little better. One of them is reading. If you read it, you retain it a little bit longer. If you take notes on it, you retain it a little bit longer. If you remember it and think about it, then it can stay with you for the rest of your life. And this is what Jesus taught, and this is what his disciples and his apostles taught. Now, with that in mind, I want to take you back a few weeks when Brother Mike taught us a lesson about giving glory to God. It was actually February the 11th. And also on the 25th, he brought up a study in Isaiah 61 and verse 3 about giving glory to God. Now that stuck with me. I don't know if it stuck with you or not. I hope some of you are remembering that. That was the main theme of his lesson, was giving glory to God. And I got to thinking about it, and I thought, do we give glory to God? And actually what I thought was, is do I give glory to God? So his lesson had impact on me. Do we really know what that means? So I set about trying to think of exactly a lesson that I could put together that would help me and hopefully help others, because we should give glory to God, whether or not it's popular and whether or not it comes natural. To begin our lesson, though, I want us to study for a minute or two about a bad subject. But it's one that, if you understand a little bit more about it, then my lesson on remembrance and on giving glory to God should be a little more understandable. And that is the disease of leprosy. It was the worst disease in their day, in biblical times, and it's still active in the world today. It attacked the body fiercely. You had loss of sensation to the nerve endings, and eventually paralysis would set in. It would damage limbs, sometimes causing loss of toes and fingers and arms and possibly legs. And it sometimes took 30 years to completely run its course in a victim. Leviticus chapters 13 and 14 are God's commandments on regarding what the victim's role is and what the priest's role is in the community and in the healing process, and it's 116 verses. So it was a terrible, terrible disease. The emotional pain added to the suffering because it was almost as bad as the physical pain. First of all, they were a superstitious people. And if you caught leprosy, a lot of folks thought you must have done something wrong. Well, what sin did they commit that we don't know about that's caused them to have leprosy? Sometimes people think that today. But the emotional pain involved isolation from healthy people. So you couldn't be around your family or your friends. You couldn't have any physical contact with them, no hugging, no touching. People were so afraid of catching it that if someone came around with leprosy, they would throw rocks at them. They would try to run them off. Because of a physical abnormality, because of a sickness. The longer it lasted, the more desperate that these poor people became. And they were forced to colonize, because the only people that wanted to be around lepers were other lepers. Because they didn't have to worry about it, catching it, because they already had it. Sometimes they were homeless. Sometimes they had to resort to begging. And think how difficult that would be, to be begging from healthy people that you can't even get close to. Luke relates a story in chapter 17, verses 11 through 19, that no other gospel writer includes. And I believe Luke includes it because, as we know, he was a physician. Now, these scriptures are important in these verses. And I want to remind everyone that sometimes we read the Bible too quickly. You ever do that? It used to be a requirement when I was a kid, after I learned how to read, I had to read the Bible every night. So the quicker I could get done, the better. And unfortunately, sometimes I think that became a habit with me. If I had to read a chapter, I just read it as fast as I could. The Bible is meant to be meditated upon. So we should read about it and think about it as we're reading about it. So I'm going to handle these verses 11 through 19 a little bit different as we go through our study today. But the lesson begins with Jesus being on his way to Jerusalem. And he comes to the border of Samaria and Galilee, and he enters a Samaritan city. Now we know the Samaritans were kind of a half-breed people, so it's kind of interesting that Jesus went there anyway. But Jesus taught everybody that he could. And as he walked into this Samaritan city, 10 men who were lepers saw him. and his reputation was already ahead of him. And they were looking for mercy. And they were willing to break some of the rules, slightly anyway, but because they recognized hope. And so they hollered, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us," because they were begging for compassion. And when Jesus saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." Simple command. Now, if we'd studied Leviticus 13 and 14, we would have found that before you could go show yourself to the priest, you had to be healed. So this is interesting that they have leprosy, and yet the first command, the only command that Jesus gives them, is go show yourself to the priest. And they followed his command, the Bible tells us, and as they went, they were cleansed. Now, first of all, in order for the miracle to happen, these men had to do what? Start walking. They had to believe it. Remember when Naaman was told to dip 7 times in the Jordan? What's the first thing he had to do? He had to go to the Jordan River. He had to show some faith. Now, this is a critical point in our lesson because as they're walking along, these men become healed. What happens next? What would be your response to that? Months, possibly years, you've been infected with leprosy, all the bad things that we thought about it, and all of a sudden you're healed? What would be your response? Celebrate? Well, one caught himself in the midst of his joy, and he returned to Jesus. And with a loud voice, he glorified God, and he fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. True thankfulness, public in his gratitude. The Bible says in a loud voice, praising God and thanking him, and he was not shy about it. Jesus did not command that any of them express their thankfulness. He gave them one simple command, go show yourself to the priest. He didn't even command them to return to him after going to the priest. But nevertheless, as we can see, that's what he expected. Because Jesus answered, were there not 10 cleansed? Jesus knew. He had cleansed 10 men. And then he asked the question, but where are the 9? Where were the 9? The Bible doesn't tell us any more about them. Where were the 9? Possibly, we'll give them credit, they had planned some of them on getting to the temple and then worshiping God where he should be. But God didn't dwell in the temple. Possibly, some just felt entitled. They had been suffering. They deserved to be cleansed. That's why they asked to be cleansed. Was so they could be cleansed. Possibly, some were just done. They got what they wanted from Jesus. The majority of the people were content with fixing their lives up a little bit superficially and temporally. Ever see people like that today? It's a bad habit to get into when the only time you pray to Jesus or pray to God through Jesus is when you need something. But maybe that was it. Maybe they were done. They got what they wanted, so they were finished. These 9 are representative of a general attitude toward Jesus. Give us healing. Give us food. Deliver us from demons. Do miracles for us. But do not expect worship, praise, adoration, or thanks. Ungrateful. Remember Jesus' mission statement? I want us to think about the 9 for just a few minutes. Normally, when I'm teaching, I prefer to focus on the positive. A lot of folks like to hear a sermon that has some of the negative concepts, some of the negative thoughts, some of the bad thoughts. Fire and brimstone is what we used to call it. So let's consider the fire and brimstone of this lesson for just a few moments. Because I'm really kind of curious, what happens to the 9? So we're given some examples in the New Testament about folks that were like these nine people. Remember the rich man and Lazarus? The man was rich. He had a poor man begging at his gate. He didn't have time for him. What happened to the rich man? When he died, he lifted up his eyes and he was in hell. Luke 12:16. God blessed a man at harvest time, and he already had barns. I'm getting a split screen, so I'm going to double check every once in a while and make sure it's working. When I look back. So what does he do when he gathers in a harvest and he doesn't have enough barns for what he's got? He builds more barns. He doesn't consider the poor. He doesn't consider the hungry. One of the nine. He builds more barns. This is the one I thought of when Brother Mike gave his lesson on giving glory to God. This example of Herod. Remember in Acts chapter 12 and verse 23? Herod is in this great robe, and he's sitting on his throne, and one of his friends has just been appointed a leader. And he sits before his people in his royal apparel, and his people think he sounds like he's got the voice of a god. And you remember what happens? The angel of the Lord kills him, and he's eaten of worms because he didn't give glory to God. Matthew chapter 25, Jesus explains the fate of the nine very clearly. Hungry, and you didn't feed me. Thirsty, you didn't give me drink. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and you did not comfort me. A stranger, and you did not take me in. He says, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Inasmuch as ye have not done it unto the least of these my brethren, you have not done it to me. So, let's go back to the positive side. The one that I like. The one. The one that went back. Because what does he do? He reversed his steps. That's like repentance. He stopped and turned around and went back. He put his family and his friends on hold. He put the priest on hold. And he came back to Jesus to the cause of his celebration. The fact that Jesus had cleansed him. Actually, genuinely, actively thankful. Grateful. The one. Jesus says, were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Because you see, the Samaritan saw the greatest value in the healer, not the healing, and he owed him thanks, and he owed him glory to God. God will give us the opportunity to be thankful when nothing about our circumstances gives us the motivation. I hope you're reading that because I'm going to say it again. God will give us the opportunity to be thankful when nothing about our circumstances gives us the motivation. Can we be thankful despite the circumstances? If we can, then we will have experienced faith. Because Jesus said to the one, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. Some translations say, thy faith has made thee whole, and some translations say, thy faith has saved thee. So 10 lepers come to Jesus and beg for mercy. 9 give him no thanks, give him no glory. 1 comes back and is healed and is cleansed and is made well. Now, the one thing that we don't read is that Jesus reversed his miracle. So 9 were healed, but 9 didn't give thanks for it. Peter explains this really well in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. And I'm going to read this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested with fire, may be found in praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So our lesson today, my encouragement for us today, is to be the one. We may have to train ourselves to show thanks, to give thanks, and to be filled with thanksgiving. I don't know if we're born with that natural trait. I know I spend a lot of time on the highways, and I can tell you I don't see a lot of thankfulness when I'm out on the highways. I don't know, in y'all's traveling among people, if you see a lot of thanks. I hope you do. But without being thankful disciples, we cannot please Jesus, and we can be examples to those who don't give thanks. Now, this thankfulness is sometimes time-consuming because sometimes it requires us to reverse our steps, going out of our way or delaying an urgent appointment. Because thankfulness will lead to prayerfulness, and prayerfulness leads to thankfulness. Will you be the one today? Do you need to change your behavior? Do you need to change your life? Do you need our help to do this? Because this is really an attitude thing. It's a change in our life for the better. People will enjoy being around us more if we're thankful. We will teach them to be thankful just by our thankfulness, and in that, we give glory to God. We've seen examples of that. This is one of the ways that we give glory to God, which hopefully seems really simple, to be thankful. Make your life right with God today. If you haven't been cleansed, healed, saved, and given a new life, you need to repent of your sins, confess that Jesus is the Christ, and be baptized. Or if you need our encouragement and our prayers, then come now and be the one as we stand together and sing.
I hear thy welcome voice that calls me, Lord, to thee. For cleansing in thy precious blood that flowed on Calvary, I am coming, Lord, coming down to thee.
We do want to thank Philip for his words this morning, and I totally agree. An attitude of gratitude is so important for a Christian. We need to have a heart of thankfulness and need to be thankful for the things that we have, for what God has given us, and need to convey that to the world. Any other announcements at this time?